It doesn't take a lot to change an experience. We're not talking about when you come into a prospect and sales meeting, you want a marching band behind you playing a song. It's more about thinking about everything you do and saying, is this going to stand out? I'll give you an example. Oftentimes in business to business, a company will write a proposal, say, here's our team. We have George, we have Debbie, we have Mark, and they'll include their bios, and each of them has a little black and white picture. George has been in the business 12 years. Before he worked there, he worked at this company. And you look at everyone's bio, and they're completely generic. And we also know that no one reads anything. And you wonder why, if I want to meet the team, why am I reading a boring resume? Why can't you introduce your team in interesting ways? A lot of companies have sprung up where instead of a salesperson going up and saying, hey, let me tell you about me, I went to this school, I grew up in this neighborhood, I worked at this company, and I did this, and I was promoted to super executive vice president, called Vidyard, but you send a client, a prospect, a minute and a half video of, hey, I think you've got a problem, George. I have an idea. Can I come see you? Here's my idea. Everyone has ADD, time compressed. Lots of us are in the writing world and writing long, and our consumers are in the, I got 10 seconds to figure this out. Don't tell me the same thing everyone else is telling me.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Well, Marketing Smarts listeners, today we are going to have a conversation around brand differentiation through experience innovation conversation with the one, the only, Alan Adamson. Now, you might be wondering, wait a minute, is George excited? Well, of course I am. I'm excited to bring you this interview because today we're going to be talking about what you, the B2B marketer, needs to know about such things as brand differentiation and experience innovation. We're going to talk about the hurdles, what does success look like. Also, we're going to dive into what keeps Alan up at night, how to get started. And of course, we're going to land the plane with some words of wisdom. It's going to be a great journey. I can't wait to see what tips, tricks, items you pull out for your business. Now, Alan Adamson is a noted industry expert in all disciplines of branding. He has worked with a broad spectrum of consumer and corporate businesses in industries ranging from packaged goods and technology to healthcare and financial services to hospitality and entertainment. Given his broad perspective and depth of experience, Alan is able to help clients see and seize opportunities before the competition, activating solutions that enable them to shift ahead of the market, generating long-term value and increased brand equity. He and his team help clients identify what truly matters to the audience they serve, what is relevant to them, and deliver on it brilliantly. Alan's newest book, Seeing the How, Achieving Market Advantage by Transforming the Stuff We Do, Not the Stuff We Buy, published in May of 2023, focuses on the consumer experience as a competitive advantage and how his change in perspective has allowed companies to achieve dramatic growth and categorical leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, this one is going to be a good one. Buckle up. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by StackAdapt, the programmatic advertising platform of choice for exceptional digital marketers. If you're a B2B advertiser, account-based marketing should already be on your strategy radar. StackAdapt has a free on-demand webinar that gives you the play-by-play for building a programmatic ABM strategy that will supercharge your sales cycle. 72% of surveyed marketers say that ABM delivered higher ROI than other types of marketing, so this isn't one to miss. Access the webinar for free at go.stackadapt.com/profs-b2b. That's /profs-b2b. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's dive into a brand differentiation through experience innovation conversation with Alan Adamson. Marketing Smarts listeners, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into the good stuff. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's your boy, George B. Thomas. We're back again for another conversation that helps you impact your business, align vectors, and head, hopefully, in the right B2B direction. Today, we're going to talk about brand differentiation through experience innovation. Boy, if that title did get you to click, well, obviously it did because you're listening right now. Hopefully, it got a lot of people to click. But also, Alum Adamson is here, and of course, you've already heard the bio in the intro. My goodness, is this going to be a great conversation. So, Alan, how the heck are you doing today?
Terrific. Thanks for inviting me. I always like a chat in the morning versus late in the day, so I'm looking forward to talking.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great conversation. I love chats, especially ones that help people grow. Now, Alan, one of the things that I try to do on this podcast, and I start with this question on purpose, because I've seen it get us to some really interesting conversation points. And that is, I ask a couple weird questions, right? One is like, what keeps you up at night? One is like, what are some words of wisdom? They're kind of open-ended. We could go in any direction, especially this first one. I've learned over the days that it could be a dream. It could be a nightmare. But what is it that keeps you up at night around this idea of brand differentiation, B2B marketers, and kind of innovating the experiences they provide for potentially prospects, leads, customers? Share with us, what keeps you up at night?
The big challenge that most B2B marketers face that keep me up is that it's a sea of sameness. You hear a business leader come to me and say, we are customer-centric, we provide solutions, we're transforming our customers' experience, we're seamless. In the end of the day, they're all using the same words. They're using the same visuals. You look at their sales pitch, there are people running around holding iPads and laser beams coming in. And it's so full of jargon that you can look at a new business presentation from a company and go, what the heck do they do? And you're certainly left saying, who cares? And what's different? Because they're using the same words and they're putting them together in run-on sentences, and they're not speaking English to most of their customers. They're in jargon heaven.
Oh my gosh, jargon heaven. First of all, I like me some iPads and laser beams, but jargon heaven is not, actually that's probably hell. But here's the thing, let's dig in. I love this idea of not being in the sea of sameness. And to get out of that sea, I think it comes back to actually transforming something. And so in your book, you talked about how today's most successful businesses are those that have significantly, I think that's an important word there, significantly transformed the user's daily routines. How are they doing this? And why is this such an important shift for brands to implement, Alan?
Well, you know, it's happening a lot on the consumer side, but as always, we're all humans in marketing. And a lot of B2Bs, if they only look at what the person across the street is doing, are going to be left in Never Never Land. So sometimes looking across the pond and saying, what are people living in the rest of their life? I remember I was having a conversation with an executive at a large B2B company, the CEO, and he talked to me, he said, my daughter is ordering everything on her phone instantly and, you know, flipping around. And our customers have to call a call center. Somebody has to get on the phone with them and explain what, and why can't we do this? And so part of it is realizing that your worlds are colliding, that you need to pay attention to those experiences. And so I think the most important thing, the starting point to answer your question is, zoom out from the product. Most companies are so excited to say, look at this great thing I have to sell you. George, you really need this little box. It's terrific. You'll love it. And it's the best box on the market. You may have the best box, but for sure, that box won't be the best for 6 months or 6 weeks. What's happening is the time you have between having a better mousetrap and everyone on the block having the same mousetrap is gone. Step one is to realize, yes, the product or the service is important. But if that's all you're talking about, you're not connecting with your customer.
Yeah, I love this idea of connecting with the customer. And it's interesting, the CEO conversation, being able to just get on and do something, it makes you feel like you're very close to the brand. You're close to the process. And so we even talk about getting closer to the customer has always been the goal of good marketing. Your words more than my words, what I'm saying there. And so when you say getting closer to the customer, Alan, what do we actually mean?
Well, so you ask any company, do you understand your, oh, yes. You know, I've been in the business for 15 years. We know our customers. What that usually means is two challenges. One, they are reading reports. They're asking customers, you know, George, are you happy? Are you satisfied? And most people say, yeah, I'm satisfied. They won't tell you anything more than that. But if they're unsatisfied, miserable, they'll tell you. But they won't tell you that, gee, it's not really that different. I'm just, okay, I'll do business with you. Part of it is realizing that, one, the old-fashioned how am I doing to customers is not going to give you the answer. Two, just looking at a research report once in a while. And three, if you talk to your customers a year and a half ago, what they're feeling now is going to be very different. Part of it is getting back into, when I see a lot of B2B executives, like most of us, they're scheduled meeting after meeting. They go from one Zoom call or one conference room to the other. And by and large, they are not looking at their customer. I'll tell you a funny story. My father-in-law was in the mall business, shopping mall, a tough business. And when I first met him, he would, you know, have successful business. And they're selling not to customers. They're selling to other retailers to come into the mall to buy space. And even after he was retired, he used to love walking the mall. And he would take me walking around, not to buy things and not to ask George, you know, what do you want in a mall? But he would just sit there and say, look, he was an observer. He just was fascinated by looking what people were doing. And I think part of what being close to the customer means is getting out of your, from in front of your screen, getting away from answering emails, getting away from just talking about your product, and going back to square one and saying, can I watch my customers better? Can I ask some questions other than how am I doing? Doing it on a continuous basis, so it's not once a year, oh, we did our customer satisfaction and 26% of our customers think we're doing a good job, so let's keep on going.
I love this conversation. There's a couple things going through my brain right now. One, allowing yourself or designing your life in a way which you have the time to be a people watcher, meaning the tribe that is around your organization. I think that's so key to so many people because we are on this professional treadmill from XYZ time to whenever you clock out and go home. And especially, I think the higher you go up in an org chart, look at owners, right? They live it, breathe it, eat it almost 24/7 hours a day other than when they're sleeping. And this ability to be like, man, I just need to take a break and watch what they're doing and get close to them. I also would be remiss if I didn't mention that when I hear you talk, Alan, I think of Nate Brown, and we did a podcast episode on voice of customer. And of course, Marketing Smarts listeners, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know, I keep coming back and talking about Nate Brown in that episode because it is important what Alan is saying here, being able to actually watch or hear or interact and understand how it's changing. And speaking of changing, because Alan, you alluded, like if you talked to him a year and a half ago, like you're probably, how has getting closer to the customer changed? I want to say over the past couple of weeks, but maybe the past couple of months, but for sure, the past several years, like how is getting closer to them changing in today's times?
It's changing, as you just alluded to, the pace of change. We all know this is going faster. But most people are creatures of habit. You know, there's an old TV show called Frasier, and Frasier's dad had this old lounger, and he just was comfortable. But you have to think, you are like that. You're more comfortable with what you did yesterday than trying something new tomorrow. Most of the time, most people are on autopilot. And the only time they say, oh my goodness, you know, I better go talk to some customers, is when sales start to drop. But as you know, and most of your listeners know, by the time sales start dropping, that's a rearview mirror. You know, some of your best employees have bailed out. Your customers have voted with their spending. Getting them back is going to be tough. And even fixing the problem. You know, the time you have to start worrying is when sales are good. If you're going to do something new, you're never going to get it right on the first try. You're going to have to take two or three swings. But if you're already going downhill and the sky is falling, you don't have three swings. You have to hit the first pitch. Part of success in business is executing something really well. If you're average, no one cares. And to do something really well takes a little bit of time, no matter how much you know your business. The other is when I speak to companies, they are, I've been in the screwdriver business for 30 years. I know exactly what our, you know, they go in hardwired that they know the answer. And one of the interesting things I learned about was that a couple years back, I spoke to the folks at HBO. Again, different business, consumer. And when people hire young people, interns or junior level people, they put them in the bullpen, add up these numbers. But at HBO, they said, our leadership needed to understand what's going on. So they gave the college kids to the president and the founder and forced them to hang out with these college kids, much like the story of the CEO's daughter, to make sure they're in touch with what's going on in the world as opposed to living in the world that existed a couple years ago.
So good. And it's funny, one of the things in that section that I hope the Marketing Smarts listeners pull out, as you said, the idea of executing something well. And I want to tie that back to your rearview mirror, because you can't execute something really well if you're looking in the rearview mirror. You have to be looking forward. You got to have your hands on the steering wheel. You got to be able to navigate ahead into the things that are coming instead of, oh, my goodness, 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, this was the thing. And what's fun here, too, if we keep drilling down here, Alan, I think let's go back to the title for a second. Brand differentiation through experience innovation. A lot of this conversation is about the experience that we can provide if we are people watching, if we do have a voice of customer. And I'm a firm believer that experience is everything. However, Alan, can every brand create an experience that resonates? And is that what now determines which brands in the spaces live or die in this fast-paced digital world that we live in?
It doesn't take a lot to change an experience. We're not talking about when you come into a prospect and sales meeting, you want a marching band behind you playing a song. It's more about thinking about everything you do and saying, is this going to stand out? I'll give you an example. Oftentimes in business to business, a company will write a proposal, say, here's our team. We have George, we have Debbie, we have Mark, and they'll include their bios. And each of them has a little black and white picture. George has been in the business 12 years. Before he worked there, he worked at this company. And you look at everyone's bio and they're completely generic. And we also know that no one reads anything. And you wonder why, if I want to meet the team, why am I reading a boring resume? Why can't you introduce your team in interesting ways? A lot of companies have sprung up where instead of a salesperson going up and saying, hey, let me tell you about me. I went to this school. I grew up in this neighborhood. I worked at this company and I did this and I was promoted to super executive vice president called Vidyard. But you send a client, a prospect, a minute and a half video of, hey, I think you've got a problem, George. I have an idea. Can I come see you? Here's my idea. Everyone has ADD, time compressed. Lots of us are in the writing world and writing long, and our consumers are in the, I got 10 seconds to figure this out. Don't tell me the same thing everyone else is telling me.
Imagine a world where you could advertise directly to your best fit, highest value accounts. B2B advertisers know more than anyone that getting in front of the right professionals with buying influence is essential. Enter StackAdapt. Their free on-demand webinar teaches you how to launch a highly scalable and measurable account-based marketing strategy that generates more qualified leads. Learn how to nurture your audience through every step of the buying journey using programmatic ABM and take the guesswork out of your B2B marketing. Get free access to the full webinar at go.stackadapt.com/profs-b2b. That's /profs-b2b. I mean, we could just drop the mic on that last statement that you just said, but that all was good stuff. Marketing Smarts, listen, I think you might have hit a rewind point where make sure you have that notepad, that chalk, that marker, that whiteboard, whatever you need, just something to write with, and definitely take some notes out of that. So, Alan, what are the changes in customer experience that innovative businesses are making? What have you seen where people are kind of tweaking what they're doing?
I'll give you a consumer example, but I think you can apply it to B2B. Part of it is going back to what I talked about, which is if you're only focused on selling your product, you're not going to be listening to your customers. And most companies are so focused on talking and not listening that you're not zooming out. We all fly airplanes occasionally, but now we're flying them again. And most airlines are focused on, you know, when you sit in the seat, are the peanuts fresh? Do they spill something on you? Every airline does the same thing. But recently, Delta did something on their app that really exemplified zooming out and understanding your customer's experience. When you go to an airport these days, and you see on your phone that you have to go to gate 24B, and you arrive at the curb, you have no idea how long it's going to take you to get to gate 24B because you don't know how long the lines are. You don't know how far the gatewalk is. So Delta put in a Waze feature that says, you're at the curb. It's going to take you 25 minutes to get there. So don't stop for a coffee up here because you don't realize it's a 3-mile walk to the gate. So in other words, they've started to think about the totality of the customer's experience. What I recommend for B2B businesses, look at how you touch that customer. Look at those touch points and say, what's going on in their life and how can I make my sales process easier, more interesting? Don't tell them what I want to tell them. Tell them what they want to ask. Maybe you ask a client before you go see them. I have 5 minutes of your time. Tell me the 3 things I have to answer in that meeting, as opposed to coming in with your video that looks the same as everyone else.
Make your sales process more interesting. Again, I love sitting back and just listening to these conversations that I have with smart individuals, Alan, like yourself, because there are definite nuggets. And my biggest hope for the Marketing Smarts listeners is that they pay attention to these nuggets, they pull them out of the interviews, and then they kind of pull the thread on that, what it means for their organization. And I swear to you, I know there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of organizations, listeners listening to this, that if they pulled on that one thread, make your sales process more interesting, it would dramatically impact the business growth moving forward.
Yeah, not in a superficial way, but do something different. Part of it is you'll do something and it won't work, but iterate and think about how you can tell your story. Every sales is a story. And how can you make your story stickier and interesting? And less is more. I'll tell you another quick story. Earlier in my career, I was in the advertising business. I just started and I was working on a coffee brand and the creative team says, well, tell us on a piece of paper in an email everything you want us to communicate about this coffee. You know, we all have this problem. Tell me about why I should do business with you. I looked at the competition. I spent a lot of time and I wrote a whole page of here are 5 things about our company. Care about our customers. We stand behind our work. And the creative person looked at it. These 5 paragraphs are really interesting, Alan. And then she ripped off the corner of the page and says, if you can write down on this little square of paper what you want to communicate, you have a chance of getting it across. If you're thinking about how to communicate, less is more. And you're better off getting one idea that's simple and doing a great job of telling that story than trying to tell a story that has 10 chapters. Because people, as I said earlier, people don't remember the facts. They want to hear a story, not just the car has this type of gas mileage. The coffee cup holder is here. The insurance will cover this. Companies are so hardwired to try to sell facts that they've stopped trying to figure out what do all these facts mean and how will it make my customer's life better.
I swear, Alan, the last lines that you're saying on this interview, making your customer lives better, make your sales process more interesting, make your customer's lives better. All right, let's just keep diving in because I'm super curious. I don't want to run out of time. We have plenty of time, but I want to just make sure that we get some more of these nuggets for the Marketing Smarts listeners. So how does customer experience innovation, because that's what we're talking about today, drive more growth than production differentiation? Because I think at the beginning of this episode, we kind of started by saying, man, everybody's talking about the product. So talk us through how does customer experience innovation drive more growth?
It's a hard change because most successful businesses are started by engineers or somebody who's invented a product, and to tell them that they shouldn't talk about the product is hard. But talk about how it works, because while you have a difference, it's not something that's going to last. In fact, the difference is that people are going to already know about. I'll give you a story. So FedEx is a very successful B2B company, also does B2C. And for a long time, they were talking about when they first started, how they got the packages to everywhere fast. And they talked about all the packages flying to Memphis and this whole thing. But at the end of the day, customers don't really care how you do it. They just want to know, is it happening in time? And so lots of these companies have gotten better about just telling their customers, your package is now in Cleveland. It will be at the store in 2 seconds. And so part of it is, again, that's not their product. That's just telling them things that will make them worry less. So it gets back to that simple thing is do less. If you're doing too much, you can't be good. But experience differentiation sounds like a big word, but small things make a big difference in experience. And back to a customer thing, you know, when Amazon started to deliver the package to your house, texting you a picture of the box on your door, it seemed like, who cares about that? But that just says, oh, I better go out, open the door and get it. Or it's there. And a simple picture, for years, they would log on here and get this. Just look at how people are living and how you might do simple things to just, without using it, but make it a little easier, a little friendlier, a little faster around your product, because you can't win on the product. Tie on the product. I mean, you can't win in the short term, but there are some winners.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny because I think about the picture in the Amazon story. For most people, unless I'm weird, it also creates a little bit of excitement. It's like Christmas on your front porch, you know? You're like, oh, it's here, like I've been waiting. And it's just fun how that adds just that little bit of excitement to your life because you've received what you want. Now, I love these stories, and you've told a couple stories along the way. So I have to double down and ask you, Alan, what does success look like? How do we know that we've reached experience, innovation, nirvana, if you will? Meaning, what is an example or some examples of companies that are dang gone, they're just doing it right?
That is a challenge because the premise is I've got it right. And that used to be the way you could survive in business. You fix something and then you could get into the it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you could sit back, open the beer and say, I've done it. But as you said earlier, the pace of change is so crazy. If you just look at that as the end point, I fixed the product or the service, I solved the customer problem, they're happy. Every day, you have to feel like you are becoming obsolete. You need a bit of this, only the paranoid survive. If you don't come into the office every day realizing that yesterday you got lucky and things are changing, and if you just do the same thing you did yesterday, the only thing for sure is you'll be less successful. So I think part of it is not accepting the, I've achieved it, but because you'll know when you achieved it, because ultimately sales is a good indicator of things going right. The sales chart is going like this, you're fine. But if you just say that's good, let's keep on doing what we're doing, which is most of the mentality out there. You talk to people that have successful business. Oh, business is great. We're just going to have Bob and Debbie do the same thing as always, and you got no worries. And once you're into that we got no worries world, you're already in danger of becoming your father's Oldsmobile. So you have to be a little constantly the nervous founder. Don't let your success get to your head. And back to the other point I said, even small changes, be it, you know, showing a picture of your package, take a long time to get right. And you're better off doing a few small things and getting them right than trying to completely reinvent everything.
Yeah, I've got a buddy. I love this saying that he says, how you do small things is how you do all things. And it's just hitting real hard on this episode. And I'll tell you that don't be your father's Oldsmobile. It was like a 2x4 across my forehead when you said it. But I have to pull out the thing that you said in that section for me where I was like, I got to jot this down. This has to be a tweet or a graphic or something. If you do what you did yesterday, the only thing you'll be is less successful. My goodness, marketing smarts listeners, I hope you heard that. I hope it hits in the way that it hit for me as we're doing this interview this morning, because you got to be changing up. You got to be innovating. Again, that steering wheel, that windshield driving in the right direction.
Looking down the road, not looking behind you. The other piece that experience matters is that no one shares ordinary things. If you have an ordinary company experience, you'll say, no one shares them. You know, it's fine. If you screw up, you'll have a lot of people sharing it. And the most important thing for most businesses is word of mouth. Word of mouth on social media, word of mouth in reviews, word of mouth to friends. And to get people to share something, you have to do something more than average. So if you're just good, average is over. You have to do a few things that surprise your customer every couple of months, because if they're not surprised, they won't tell anybody. Hey, you know, I had a great experience at Joe's Car Wash. They did this. Wow. But if it's, oh, Joe's Car Wash has been the same for 5 years, they could clean the car. It's average cleaning and nothing special. I'm happy with it. You'll get into a situation that happened to me when I was working for a pizza company. They said, people love our pizza. I go, yeah, great, great. You ask them if they're happy with it and they like the taste and the cheese. Yes, yes, yes. And then the moderator and the researcher says, well, what happens if that pizza company went out of business? And everyone said, oh, I go across the street. And keep in mind that even though they're happy, the fact that you're not that different and they're not really happy to the point where they want to tell people is going to prevent them from going across the street.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about that. It shot in my brain. Happy does not equal sticky. And you want your business to be sticky. You want, man, I would be sad, or I don't know what I would do. Or like, there has to be that loss or gap. So, Alan, let's get tactical here for a little bit because we're about to land the plane. I can't wait to ask you some words of wisdom because you've been on a journey. I can't wait to see what you're going to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners. But let's get tactical before we get there. What are 2-3 tips when we're talking about this conversation of actually differentiating your brand through experience innovation? What are the tactical tips that you would want to leave the Marketing Smarts listeners with?
Look at how you touch your customer, whether it's sales, a PowerPoint deck, what your website looks like. When they get your product, what happens? Is it just dropped off? Does somebody talk to them? And map those out. And don't try to fix everything, but pick one or two of those touch points and get together with your team or yourself and say, how might I do that differently? Come up with a couple ideas and try them. Try them on 5 customers. Don't spend forever polishing it and then say, introducing the new way we're going to do business. Be ready to try it, change it, try it, change it. Because as we talk, you got to be great at whatever you do because average is over. And to get there, like in practice, like anything else, anything you do well, you have to focus on in practice. So my thought is look at those touch points, find one or two, and start practicing how you make it slightly different every day.
So good. Slightly different every day. I've lived by a rule for many, many, many years now, 1% better each and every day. How at your organization can you think to yourself, we want to get one, obviously you might do more than 1%, but you get it. It's just a saying, how can we be 1% better each and every day? Alan, this has been an absolutely fantastic interview. I think there's so many nuggets of wisdom left along the trail, but I still need to get more. And so what are the words of wisdom that you want to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners about experience innovation, brand differentiation, or hey, Alan, maybe just life in general?
First one is surrounding yourself with people that don't say yes to you. Oh, great idea, George. You know, make sure you bounce ideas off people that are comfortable saying no, that's terrible, that have different perspectives, because we get into these bubbles where everyone around, oh, great business, especially in successful companies, no one wants to tell the boss that it's going to rain. Make sure you have friends who are honest with you and you bounce ideas off people that see the world a little differently than you. That's tip one, because part of seeing what's going on is to be in reality and not in a bubble saying everyone around me thinks I'm great. And that's what happens to a lot of companies. They get very much in the bubble of no one telling them that, hey, their stuff is not that good anymore. So one is surround yourself with people that are brutally honest. Look for people that are different. Don't go to the same group of friends that always say you're great and all went to the same school and all live in the same neighborhood and all watch the same movies. You know, try to shake it up. And the other is try to become a 12-year-old again. You remember when you took your kids walking and a 12-year-old kid or 10-year-old, they said, what's that? What's that? You know, try to see the world as if you're landing from Mars, because that's where the new stuff comes from. Why do people always use 40-page PowerPoints when they start a presentation? Who wants to do that? So make sure you're asking why, and if not, get people around you that ask why. Those are my top two.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. I also have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or a review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or a friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Ryan Brock about unleashing the power of pillar-based marketing. I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.